last parts of the house that's actually put in place. You know, you don't start putting cabinets in before you put flooring in. You know, certain things you just, it's according to plan. And the architect is the one who designs and builds the plan. God is the architect, and we need to build God's church according to his plan. Okay, materials must be placed according to the blueprint. A heap of stone is not a house. Neither is a bulk of material or a piece of land a house. You know, just because you got the material and the nails and the roofing material doesn't mean that you have a house. Things have to be put together according to God's plan. No different than the church. You know, just because somebody says, look, I'm the pastor, you know, are you building according to God's blueprint? You know, are you designing and building the ministry the way God designed it? Is the foundation? Remember we talked about foundation a couple of weeks ago? I used the illustration about my mom's house and how there was a dump or some, you know, place where a lot of bottles and old cans had been buried underneath the house. And then when my dad and I had went fishing, we buried some fish heads on the corner in the back of the house. And we saw that as he dug to put the fish heads in there that, you know, hey, something ain't right. The more we dig, the more garbage we found. And we knew that the foundation of that old house was not going to hold up because, you know, the house was built upon a foundation that was not solid. And so we sold that house. You know, got a backhoe, dug all that stuff up. But then I think I mentioned the fact that there was only one small corner in the very back of the house that apparently not everything had been completely dug up and packed down, compacted like it should. And two or three years ago, my mom was having problems in that part of the house where the house had started to sink. So the Bible says, you know, be careful how you build. You know, looking at that from a spiritual perspective, because whatever is not built on that solid foundation will crumble. Whatever spiritually is not built upon that solid foundation will crumble. You know, so it's so very important that each aspect of the church, each aspect of the ministry is built upon a solid foundation. You know, and if it's not, that's where you're going to have problems. You know, it could be, you know, with the ushers, it could be with the praisers, it could be, I mean, everything has to have, and every person has to go through the building process to get to where they are. I'm going to take myself, for example. I've been a member here at Word of Life for 22, 23 years. And for the first 15, 16 years, I just sat, listened, and learned. You know, but all the while, God is building something on the inside of you. All the while, you're learning. You know, all the while, you're being shaped. The Bible says that he's the potter and you're the clay. Right now, God is beginning to shape you, mold you into a vessel of honor. You know, as you stay hooked up to this solid foundation, you know, whatever gifts, whatever abilities, whatever talents that God has that's on the inside of you, in due season, God's going to use those gifts, those talents and those abilities for his glory. You know, the key element is staying, as Brother Montrell been saying, stay connected. Connectivity is so very important. You've got to stay connected because that's where your source is. That's where you're getting your spiritual substance because you're hooked up to a foundation. And I know I have my internet audience there. Whatever ministry you're a part of, if it's building on a solid foundation, you want to stay connected to that man of God and grow and not try to exalt yourself above measure. Not try. One of the things I remember Apostle Thompson would always say, you always want to stay small in your own eyes. Yes. No matter what people say, no matter what kind of accolades they may give you, you want to stay small in your own eyes because it's not about you, but it is about you fulfilling the will of God for your life. As you submit, listen, learn, grow, and let the Spirit of God shape you. Amen. All right, let's move on. All right. All materials must be assembled in a proper perspective place and the bulk according to the plan of the architect. And I already read or quoted Psalms 127 and 1. You can turn there if you like to, but that's a very familiar verse of scripture that says, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman wake it, but in vain. The Lord always build according to a divine plan or a divine pattern. So it is a sad plight today that many times God's people are gathered together as a lot of material and spiritual stones, but never assembled or built together a house for the Lord, a habitation for his glory. And I mean, you see that a lot of, you know, it's vital. It's vital that even though their people or their material, and I'm relating material, building material, in relationship to people, that's the church. Okay? Even though you may have a lot of people, but if they're not assembled properly according to God's plan and God's pattern, well then the material will not manifest the house or the tabernacle that's gonna get, we're built up as a tabernacle for God's glory. See, God wants to get the glory out of each and every one of us. But if we're not put in the right proper place and fitted together, every joint supplying, every joint connecting together, well then if you're out of joint, I've never had a bone or a dislocated shoulder, but I heard that if you ever had a bone or a joint out of socket, it don't feel good. It hurts and it hinders you from whatever you thought you was going ever to do. You know, if your shoulder's out of socket, you can't raise your hand. So the whole body suffers is what I want to point out. So when a person in the body of Christ is out of joint and out of socket, the whole body is suffering because you're not connected. You're not in the socket right. You know, you're out of joint. You're out of the anointing. I tell people that you're more anointed at doing what God's called you to do than any other time in your life. You want to be in the flow of anointing that God has called you to be in. You know, if God has called you to be a praise leader, don't try to be an evangelist, because it's a dangerous thing. It's dangerous. You know, if God didn't call you to be a pastor, don't talk about starting no church, because the anointing is not there for that. You know, sure, you might be able to start something and he might, but going back to the scripture we just read, except the Lord build a house, you're laboring in vain. You know, one of the things Brother Hagin just said, you're watering with your foot. You're not letting the anointing propel that thing. You're trying to work that thing in the natural. And if you don't get off and get back on track, it's going to hinder and it could destroy you. There are people whose lives have been cut short because they kept going in a direction that God didn't call them to go to. So you want to make absolutely sure that, Lord, I'm socketed properly. Because when you're socketed properly, then you become a benefit and a blessing to the body of Christ, because you're in your flow of anointing, you're in the vein, you're in the row, as Pastor would always say. Stay on your row. You know, if God called you to be corn, stay in the row with the corn. Don't try to be a cucumber over there, because you're not equipped. God didn't give you that equipment to be that. You know, stay in your lane, stay in your flow of anointing, and that's so very important. Let's see. The results we are really wanting to see, the finished work of God's building, is found in 2 Chronicles 5 and 13. Turn with me in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles. I didn't want to get to this scripture till later on, but while I'm here, let's hit it. In 2 Chronicles, we're going to see, this is what we ultimately want. When we're in a worship service, when we're in any type of area where God is flowing, we want God's anointing. We want the tabernacle to be filled with the glory of God. And that's so, so very important. If I can find 2 Chronicles, just give me a second here. I got it written down. I'll just read it off of here. 2 Chronicles chapter 5 and verse 13. Okay. It says, and it came to pass as the trumpeters, and I might be reading maybe a few verses below that, as the trumpeters and the singers were as one, making one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice, and the trumpeters and the cymbals and the instruments and the music, and praising the Lord, saying, "For he is good, for his mercy endured forever," that then the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord, so that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God. And you see, for that to take place, what had to happen was when they were building the temple, God would give the priests of that house, whether it was Moses or whether it was Joshua or whether it was David or Solomon, he would give them specific instruction on how to build the tabernacle. You see, in the Old Testament, God dwelt in earthen-made temples. God's power, God's Shekinah glory was in earthen or man-made temples and tabernacles. Because, see, God's desire was to dwell with men. But because of man's present state, God cannot dwell on the inside of man because man was not born again because of sin. And we know that the present, that sin cannot stand in the presence of God. So God set up the priestly order where there was a high priest who could go into the temple and offer up sin, offer up sacrifices for the sins of the people. But in order for God's presence to be in the temple, they had to have specific instructions on how the temple or the tabernacle was to be built. You know, so many feet high, so many feet long. So the curtain had to be, you know, 4 inches thick, 20 feet wide, 20 feet long, 40 feet wide. You know, and in that is where God's presence, God's Shekinah glory, dwelt. That's where the tablets were. That's where the Ark of the Covenant presided. And that's where the presence of God was. And the high priest, him alone, could go into the temple and offer up, you know, sacrifices for the sins of the people. That's where God's presence. And you see, when the praises would come together and the singers and with the cymbals and the tapestry and all the musical instrument, and they were making one sound praising God, then God's Shekinah glory will come and fill the temple. And they said that the priests could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud. Why? Because the glory of the Lord filled the temple. You see, God wants to fill our temples with his glory. God wants to fill our lives so that even, getting back to some New Testament stuff, even the shadow of Peter, would people would heal as Peter would walk by. Why? Because God's glory, God's presence was there. Because as they built God's church according to God's pattern, God can honor what he ordained and what he sanctioned. And this is the way I want it. But when you try to build something completely opposite or want to do your own thing, God is not going to honor that. You know, he'll bless something as much as he can, but when you're out of order, you know, it's, you know, God's presence ain't gonna. That's why you got so many dead churches. That's why you got programs and organizations and all the gimmicks and people wanting to be entertainers instead of allowing God's presence to manifest itself as they build according to God's pattern. So very important. You know, we're building here at Word of Life, building with LTMA and the LTMA churches according to God's pattern, so that God alone is going to get the glory, so that every joint will supply, that every individual, every person will know their roles and their function, and they're going to, you know, one thing I always learn, the anointing of God always flows down from the top down, and when you align properly, where you need to be, all the oil you need will flow down to where you are, you know. But if you're out of alignment, you're not going to get the oil that you need. You see, it's the anointing that destroys the yoke. It's the anointing of God. And we want and need and should desire that anointing upon our lives so that God's blessing can rain upon us. And it's not so much that the blessing is raining upon us, but that it can rain through us to other people. And in the process, guess what? You get blessed because you're in your proper place, in your proper order, and God now is able to use you for his glory. That you now, you're a lively stone, and you're a stone that's placed in the right spot on the house. You know, you think about a house that has stone on it. Every stone, every joint, every person, every individual flowing and functioning in the office and in the gifting and in the talent and in the ability that God ordained for you to be in. Amen? Amen. All right. It says the scriptures show that the Lord God has a pattern for his church. Jesus Christ is the architect, the wise master builder, and he will build his church according to his pattern. And we already read Ephesians 2, 20 and 22, so we're not going to go over that again. It says only God has only one pattern for his church, whether it's universal or local. The scaffolding may vary, you know, according to the national culture of various countries. But the foundation of truth and biblical principles are going to always be the same. You know, whether we're in Malaysia, whether we're in Hong Kong, whether we're in the Philippines, you know, the culture and maybe the way they may go about doing something or the materials they use may be just a little different. But the foundation, the pillars of that foundation are going to always be the same, you know, and they're building a spiritual house unto the Lord. You know, even though a lot of times we look at it as being physical, but actually it's spiritual. Because the Bible says as New Testament saints, we shouldn't go be saying low here and low there. That's where the temple of God is. No, we are the temple of the living God. You know, we're assembled in a building where we fellowship and we worship. But in the Old Testament times, they actually went from house to house. You know, they may have not had a physical building, one particular place where they worshiped, but wherever they were, the Bible says what? Where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of thee. You know, and when you're gathered together in his name, his glory, his presence shows up. And that's what you want. You want the presence. You want the anointing of God. Let's move on. It cannot be overemphasized that the church will be built according to his divine pattern, his divine plan. We will consider some structure that were built in scriptures, which originated with God and was built according to the divine pattern that God has set. Okay, I already talked about Moses, but turn with me in your Bibles to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6. And we're going to look briefly at instructions that God gave Moses. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 14. Looking at Genesis 6, 14 through 16. It says in Genesis chapter 6, verse 14, make thee an ark of gopher wood. Room shalt thou make in the ark, and shall pitch it within and without with pitch. And this is the fashion which thou shalt make it of. The length of the ark shall be 300 cubits, and the breadth of it 50 cubits, and the height of it 30 cubits. And the window shall thou make to the ark, and in the cubits shall thou finish it above, and the door of the ark, and set it in the side thereof, and lower second and third stories shall thou make it. And he goes on and on and on with specific, precise details on how the ark was supposed to be built. That ark was a salvation, our savior for Noah and his family and all the animals that they took with them. It was a type of Christ. It was a type of New Testament church because God was showing us the pattern. You know, we don't want to get away from the pattern. God gave that pattern to Noah, a man. God gives a man a plan. That man now executes that plan. And as he employs or begin to tell people, thus said the Lord, that is a heaven to earth connection. Noah heard from God. God gave Noah the instructions. Noah took those instructions and gave it to the people, and they built the ark, and they were spared the flood. which is a type of salvation that, you know, we were spared when we accepted Jesus Christ. You know, the Bible said that, you know, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus. And once we accepted Jesus Christ, it was like just like getting in that ark, because we were all men most miserable, doomed and destined for hell. And but Jesus, you know, but the ark, but Jesus, the same. It's an Old Testament type. It's an Old Testament shadow. And you got to see it. If it was important for Noah to build the ark according to God's precise instructions, guess what? It's even more so important for us to build God's church according to his divine plan. Amen. You know, if we want to see the same results that they saw in the Old Testament, we got to go by the same pattern that's set and the same format that God laid out. Because the Bible says God never changes. You know, everything else changes, but God holds true. He's forever the same. You know, he has a pattern and a way of doing things. And for us to develop and to grow and to be everything that God wants us to be, it has to be done according to his pattern. Amen. I mean, you're here for the main purpose of being built up and being nurtured in the things of God so that you know how to function and how to flow. One of the reasons the school of ministry was started was so that you can see the anointing of God as they come upon the ministers and the people God has set in place. So you can see the flow of anointing. You know, a lot of times I don't really know exactly what I'm going to say and how I'm going to say it. I just have to learn how to yield. Lord, I just yield. When you yield, you actually give the right of way to someone else. You know, when you come to an intersection and it says yield, that means if somebody else is coming, you stop and you let them go. So when the Holy Spirit begins to speak to me, I just yield and say, use me. Whatever you want to do, I'm just yielded, you know. But there's a demonstration as you see it demonstrated, you know, as the apostle gets up here and you see the anointing of God upon his life. You're looking at a man that's yielded to the Spirit of God, a man that gives his life to the Spirit of God. Actually, I was reading some excerpts from a Kenneth Hagin book, and I don't know how new it is. I think it was a lot of his memoirs his son had got together, and I don't even remember the name of the book. I was on Amazon, and I just happened to run across the book. But one of the things they were saying about the prophet Kenneth Hagin, who went home to be with the Lord in 2003, I think, was that, now this is his son, Kenneth Hagin Jr. He said, I remember at 7 years old, I remember my dad, when I'd go to bed, his head would be buried in the Bible. He had other notes and commentaries, and he's praying in the Spirit. And one of the things this book talks about is how the Lord led him through him praying in the Holy Ghost, hearing God and studying the Word. He said when he would get up in the morning, a lot of times his dad was still studying. He said he would have breakfast with him and his sister, Pat, you know, but after they went to school, his dad would bury himself in the Word of God, constantly spending time with God day and night. That sounds just like my apostle. I mean, you know, I'm just being honest with you. When I hear him talk, sitting on the front porch, reading his Bible, sitting in his gazebo, meditating, praying. Matter of fact, I got me two rockers on my front porch. And a lot of time when I'm studying, I go sit on my front porch with my Bible and my tablet and my Kindle or whatever I'm using to study with, you know, because I say, Lord, if it's working for him, guess what? You know, hey, I want to go with the flow. You know, I'm thinking about possibly building me a gazebo, whatever it takes, you know, but it's not so much the places, but it's just, you know, a lot of times as a son, and I thank God for the, you know, the 12 master vision bearers. When you go into their churches, a lot of times I say, man, I look like I'm in Word of Life. You know, the pulpit be the same. The you know, all of the woodwork and stuff, something, you know, is just and the atmosphere. That's the key. The people, the love, the oneness. Why? Because guess what? They're all building according to the same pattern. The same pattern. If you ever been to a Money Come to You conference, which I do encourage each and every one of you to make as many as you can, you're going to see what's the word I want to use, Lord? A replica of the pattern that God is laying, the foundation of the apostle and the prophet, the man of God who's over this house. You're going to see that same replica. Why? And guess what? The same results that we see here, that's what's happening at those churches. Why? Because they're following the pattern. And God's going to honor that because, you know, God's the most purposeful being on the face of the earth. He doesn't do nothing haphazardly. You know, just because you want to start something and do something a particular way, don't mean God's hand is on it. But when you do something according to the pattern that was already set, then God can't help but bless it. Why? Because you're flowing in the right vein. And that's so very important. Let's move on. Praise God. Okay, we read Noah. Ah, let's see, Lord Jesus. All right, let's move on. Okay, Noah was told by God of the coming judgment, as we know, on the earth. And the Lord told him to build the ark, which was a saving of his household, you know, and the remnant of all the creatures. God calls a man, and I stated that earlier, and he gives him a plan and a pattern. And God surrounds him with people to help fulfill that plan or that pattern. The ark was built according to the fashion that God showed Moses. Noah did not originate the idea or the design of the saving of the ark. God was the architect. Amen. All right. Another type, another shadow is the tabernacle of Moses. And that's found in the book of Exodus, chapter 25, verse 40. It says, And look that thou make them after their pattern, which was showed thee in the mount. The details of the tabernacle of the Lord that was built by Moses was not originated by Moses. It didn't come out of his mind or the mind of man, nor did it come out of Moses. It says all the details, the measurements, the materials, the pattern originated with God himself, the great architect. Moses and those that helped him built according to the pattern shown Moses in the mount. So Moses was the one who went up before God, and God showed Moses how to do and how to build the tabernacle. Moses came down and he got all the utensils and all the material, and he employed people, and he began to share the vision of what God had showed him in the mount. And people got a hold of what God was telling Moses, and they went about and they built the ark. They built the covenant. They built the tabernacle that God, according to the plan and the design that God had given Moses. And that's so very important, because except the Lord build a house, they labor in vain that build it. You know, I'm going to give you a good illustration. You know, we just recently changed our service times on Sundays and on Wednesdays. And immediately once those changes were taking place, he said he got this from the Spirit of God. He was praying. Immediately, you go into prayer meeting, and I'm looking around, I'm saying, Jesus, where all these people came from? You know what I mean? I mean, double the amount of people at prayer meeting. Why? Because, you know, God had given his man a plan, given him instructions from Almighty. And he spoke those instructions, and people begin to be obedient. You look now, the bottom floor, this first section is pretty much full. You know, you don't have people lingering, coming in. You know, we're about to do the altar call. People still trying to get in the church. They already here. You know, that's the wisdom of God. You know, I remember years ago, we used to have bumper stickers on our cars. I know we got some old members who remember that. And one day in the middle of the service, the man of God says, I want everybody to go outside and rip off the bumper sticker. Said, we're no longer a local ministry, you know, because people were looking at us as being the Word. Those people are members of the Word. You know, they are the Word. You know, we're not the Word. They are the Word. But the minute we tore those bumper stickers off, it was just a demarcation of we're expanding our borders. We're stretching out our stakes. You know, we don't want to be identified as just the Word. We're Christians, you know, and we're evangelizing. So don't circle us out or center us, you know, put us in a box. No, we're expanding. And the minute we did that, the church began to expand. Why? God gave the man of God a plan. Now, that was for a season, but that season had ran its course, you know, and it's so very important to follow the instructions of your man of God. Sometimes it don't make sense to you, but you got to do it because thus said the Lord. And you got to see that he's hearing from God, you know. I like the illustration with Miriam and Aaron and Moses, you know. Miriam got a little upset with Moses because Moses married an Ethiopian woman. You know, she said, you didn't consult us. We're family. You're just going to go out and just, and God got a little upset with him. God said, look, call him on the carpet here. He said, you know, Moses is my servant, and him I speak to mouth, and not in you know, shadowy type speeches, and, you know, I speak to him, you know, mouth, face to face. You know, who are you to come against my servant? You know, because I'm giving him instruction. He alone I speak to. You know, it's just your job to just follow them, even though you may not quite understand everything, but you want to flow. It's so very important that you flow. And my time is just flowing out. Is it 10 minutes? Okay, I have to. Okay, thank you, brother. Thank you, sir. I want to make sure one thing. See, that's another thing. You know, you want to follow instructions. If you get 50 minutes, you don't take 55 minutes. You take 50 minutes, and you better try to be finished for 45 or 46 minutes. You know, that's a pattern, you know, you see, in the military, you're given specific instructions. You know, I was born on a Marine Corps base. I've never been enlisted in the Army, but my dad raised me as though I was one of his soldiers because he was a staff sergeant in the Marine Corps. And this was back in the day when there weren't many blacks in who had positions of that, and they wanted them to stay to train more groups and more battalions. But my mom said, hey, look, I'm going back to Louisiana. You can stay in California if you want to, but me and my son, we're going to meet you when you get out. But anyway, in the military, you follow orders or people die. When you're in a battle, you follow order or you lose territory. The enemy gets an advantage. You see, we're in a spiritual battle. And so it's so very important that we follow spiritual instructions according to the pattern that's set by the men of God that God's called and placed in those positions, you know, or people's lives that should have been affected don't get affected. I'm going to give you an illustration. In prison ministry some 10 years ago, we were in like about 9 or 10 facilities. And we were ministering on Monday night. We were ministering on Tuesday night. We were ministering on Wednesday night. Matter of fact, there were times the apostle would say, you know, I'll be ministering 3 times this week. And I look at my schedule, I said, shoot, I got 5 facilities to go to. You know, so I would say, I'm ministering just as much. But I learned from that. I was wearing myself out. I had to shut some of that stuff down. But anyway, one afternoon, the person in ministry here who my direct report, Brother Gotram, called me on the phone. Now, I knew he had got these instructions from the man of God, from the apostle. He said, Brother Calhoun. I said, yes, sir, Brother Gotram. He says, do the prison ministry, do y'all minister on any nights that we have a Monday night prayer meeting, a Wednesday night service, or a Sunday? And I got to thinking, you know, we minister on Mondays at the youth facility. We minister on Wednesdays at DCI. We minister at Sherman R. Walker on Sunday, you know. And I said, yes, sir, we sure do. He said, Pastor, I want to shut it down. He says, I don't want any ministry done while he's ministering because he want all his people to be here to receive the word of God. He said, I want you to change whatever need to be changed, shut down whatever need to be shut down, and there was, 35, 40 people under me. And so I'm saying, whoa. I'm saying, Lord Jesus. So I'm praying in the Holy Ghost, saying, Lord God. I said, that's what my man of God want to do. So I'm submitting, and I'm going to obey. So I got on my cell phone. I started calling people. I said, either try to get the time change or tell them we can't go no more. And everybody, once I said, you know, this came from, you know, I know it came from the top, so this is not an option, you know. This is not negotiable. You know, we're gonna shut down. And I went to one chaplain, God was doing a tremendous work there. And all of a sudden, I said, chaplain, we can't come. We can't come on a Wednesday night anymore because our pastor wants us to be at church on Wednesday. And he said, y'all can't come. I said, no. I said, if you don't have any other time slots, we're gonna have to back off until you get a time slot on one of the days that he's not ministering. And he says, okay. And then about, you know, a week passed, we didn't go. All of a sudden, he gives me a call. He said, Brother Calhoun. I said, yes, sir. He said, I was talking to a ministry, you know, in Baton Rouge who comes on Thursday. And they're willing to swap their Thursday for your Wednesday. And I said, great. I said, that's absolutely great. Now, at the time, we were only going there twice a month. He said, but there's only one stipulation. I said, what's that? He said, this ministry, they go every Thursday. And I said, really? And that's what I wanted. I wanted increase. And he said, so do you think y'all can come every Thursday and they'll take you twice a week and you take there four times a week? I said, sure, not a problem. And I mean, things began to grow and grow and grow. We've had students who were in that facility who graduated from the School of Ministry last year. You know, people who have joined this ministry, hooked up to this ministry because of obedience and being what God wants us to be. So I know the importance of following instructions, doing what you're told to do, no more, no less, doing it according to God's pattern. A lot of times I veer off of this and I'll just share personal experiences because I know that's what it takes, you know, because it's where the rubber meets the road, because you want to have good traction. You don't want to be driving around in no slick tires where you can't get no track and you're not making no headway spiritually, you know. And that's why it's so important to follow instructions. And sometimes you may not understand it, you know, but every time, this is my phone telling me it's time to get ready to shut it down. All right. I got all kind of signals to make sure I don't overstep my boundaries, you know, but it's so very important that you know, in flowing with God, that you and we follow precise instructions. All right, let me go over some other quick things, and we're gonna shut it down. Let's see, praise God. What else I wanted to share? I'm looking for something, and it doesn't seem to be appearing. Give me just a second here. Okay, let's look at this here. Jesus told Peter, he says, upon this rock, I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. You know, okay, it's time. All right, okay. Class dismissed. Continue reading chapter 2. And like I said, go into chapter 9. We're going to start next week into chapter 9. Amen? Amen. All right.